Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
My name is Barry, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here. And I've been in the series for the last couple weeks. This is the third week of Becoming a People of Praise. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about how becoming means two things. One, becoming means in process, that we are in process becoming a people of praise. There's stages of growth. And also becoming, that's very becoming on you. That looks good on you. And how Scripture teaches us that as the people of God, praise looks good on you. It fits you well. Rather than being a people who criticize and being a people who complain, those were the two pitfalls we were looking to avoid. We want to be a people of praise. Well, when I talked about not criticizing and when I talked about not complaining, I don't know about you, but for me, I never knew it would be so hard to not criticize and not complain. And I suppose I never realized how many opportunities I would have to criticize and how many opportunities I would have to complain in a day. This week, I was on the stairs at our house going to our basement, and I was talking to myself, just kind of muttering. My daughter Emily said, "Dad, what are you saying?" I said, "Well, I'm just criticizing and complaining." That's what I'm doing, and man, I need to stop, and I need to, it doesn't become me. It's not becoming. And hopefully our focus, though, is not on just trying not to do the bad stuff, but rather, Scripture says this, it doesn't teach us just work so really hard at not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Give all your attention to not doing this stuff. That's not what it says. It says, walk in the Spirit, so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Instead, do the right stuff, and the other stuff you won't fall into. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm not just trying to avoid the bad stuff. I'm not just trying to avoid complaining or avoid criticizing. I don't want to be in those traps. But what I want to be is a person of praise. I want my life to reflect the high praises of God. I don't want to criticize, but I do want to praise the Lord. I don't want to complain, but I do want to praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you, and we want to encourage one another. So much of body life or of congregation life, of church life, is building up each other, is encouraging and strengthening one another. It's so important that you're here today. I have one more pitfall to share with you that we'd like to avoid. And I think those were easy, comparatively. Complaining, criticizing are easy compared to what I'm going to share with you today. But I think you can handle it. Can you handle the truth? Here's the pitfall. The reason why I say it's hard, because it's not dealing with our words. It's dealing with our attitudes, or specifically attitude. An attitude that becomes a behavior that can become a lifestyle. And just to set the tone, this is not an accusation. This isn't, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, I'm not thinking of us as a group, anything like that. What I've been trying to do is identify pitfalls, let's not fall in them. And so when I talk about this, there can be the temptation to fall into it, and I say, well, let's just go around this. Let's not do that. So it's not an accusation. But the attitudes that we have, they can prevent us from being a people of praise. They can prevent us. They can put a roadblock in the way of us praising God and encouraging one another if we fall into this attitude. Years ago, I was at a senior's home. I used to go and I would do a Bible study. Done at a Bethany Care Center. This particular place was called Fletcher Village in Airdrie. Audrey and I pastored in Airdrie for 28 years, and part of what I did there was try to be involved in the community in numerous ways. One of them had to do with going to seniors' homes and being able to lead Bible studies. But But there was also another motive for me going to these homes. It wasn't just to lead the Bible study, it was to learn. There are people there who walked with Jesus for 60 years. I thought, I want to learn what you have to say. I want to learn from your experiences. I don't have enough time to make all my own mistakes. I need to learn from you. And one of the things that, one of the many things, one of the ladies taught me, Betsy was her name. I can see myself standing. I know right where I was when she said it, when I was just getting ready to leap. And she said, you know, Barry, the Bible doesn't say to just serve the Lord. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say just serve the Lord. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. There's it's 11 or 13 week series that I'd like to introduce to our congregation. Some of you are familiar with it. It's called Life Skills for Leaders. It's taught by a man, Pastor Wayne Cordero. And in it, he said this, and this has stuck with me as well. Maybe it'll stick with you. He said this, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to serve Jesus. Most important decision you'll ever make. And then he said the second most important, and I didn't know what he was going to say. He said the second most important decision you'll ever make is how you're going to serve Jesus. Is the attitude with which you're going to serve Jesus. It's the first is that you're going to serve him. The second is, with what attitude are you going to serve him? And so this third pitfall, that's not an accusation, but we need to be aware of it and we need to guard against it. Not the pitfall of criticism or the pitfall of complaining. It's the pitfall of being a consumer. The pitfall of being a consumer. When we've talked about becoming a people of praise, I'm not just thinking of individuals. I'm thinking a people, a congregation, a group of people, that we together are a people of praise. And so I think it's just so important that we don't fall into the pitfall of being a consumer. Being a consumer is what's in it for me. It's not sin. It's not bad to be a receiver. But even on a football team, you know, they have the position of wide receiver. They have position of receivers. But if all the receiver does is receive, he's going to have a short career. Because when he receives the ball, he needs to do something with it. Yeah, I'm a receiver. Great. Throws it to him, catches it, and stands there like a stick. Well, I'm a receiver. You've got to do something in seconds now. You've got to do something with what you have received. The Bible says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And sometimes we can fall into the trap, well, I am just going to allow other people to be more blessed. Because it's more blessed to give than receive, so they can give and I can receive, and what a gift to them. That's delusional. To consume isn't bad. But if the summation of our Christian life is, I consumed. I was a taker. I don't think that reflects well being a people of praise. Being a consumer can be what's in it for me. And I think it stops us from praising the Lord. I think it stops us from seeing good and encouraging things in other people and speaking words of affirmation. When we come to worship the Lord in our time, just like we had moments ago, gathered together to lift up and magnify his name, I recognize there are people with needs. Shauna just led us in that prayer about there are people all over this room with needs and significant needs in our lives. And God wants to bless us and God wants to touch us and God wants to minister to us. He loves you. He's here to do that very thing. But loved ones, we're not here to just get something from God. What's in it for me? Sometimes we hear the phrase, well, I didn't like worship today. Well, it wasn't to you. It was to God. that if we don't get anything, he's still worthy. He's still worthy of our praise and adoration, of lifting up our voices and our hearts and our hands to him. He's still worthy. Worship isn't about us, it's our response to Him. Our attitude just can't be what's in it for me. One of the things that I do is I spend time with couples before they get married, premarital counseling. Early on in the conversation, first I will talk about their relationship with the Lord, just so I have a baseline of how is this conversation going to go. So please be honest. What's your relationship with Jesus like? Do you have one? Is it vibrant? Is it growing? Is it a part of your life? Is it your life? Just talk to me about your relationship with the Lord. Then one of the other questions that I ask them, why are you marrying the other person? Why are you marrying them? And they will give some answers. But my hailing frequencies are wide open at that moment because I'm listening for something. I'm listening for, are they going to talk about themselves or are they going to talk about the other person? Are they going to say, oh, they're just so funny, or they make me laugh? And it may sound like semantics or nuances, but I'm listening for, they are so encouraging, or when I'm down, they pick me up. There's a distinct difference. Why are you marrying them? Because of what they do for me, or because of who they are. Now, if any of you are considering marriage, you'll know how to answer that question. There's a few pictures in Scripture this morning that probably illustrate this or say it clearly, more clearly than the actual text that we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, your devices, you can make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There may be verses that would be just so crystal clear for us. An example of Judas in Scripture saying, what will you give me that I would betray the Son of Man? Right, that's pretty, what's in it for me? What will you give me? There are other scriptures that talk about when we come together, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It talks about humility, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, coming in the form of a servant or a bondservant. It's just, he let this mind be in you. Philippians will talk about consider each other better than ourselves, or esteem each other better than ourselves. There's an example, Jesus, it says that specifically the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so we can follow those scriptures and we can look at those texts. They can speak to us. And they might be better than the text we're going to look at to prove this point, but I don't think that there's a sadder picture in the church in the New Testament of a group of people who so clearly miss the point. It's a hard section to this church. It's a hard letter to the church. 1 Corinthians, Paul will begin by saying, to the saints of God, and he'll call them saints early in the first chapter, and then he'll spend the remainder of the letter bringing correction to them. Here's where you're wrong, here's where you're wrong, here's where you're wrong. You'll remember last week when I talked about pointing out things in people's lives, he's not criticizing them, he's bringing correction. There's a distinct difference. Last week we said if we're going to bring correction to someone, we're going to do four things. Number one, we're going to consider our heart. Secondly, we're going to consider our words. Thirdly, we're going to consider our relationship. And fourth, we're going to consider our work as a starting point, not a finishing point. There I pointed out where they need to be corrected. My job is done. Go away. Not everything that we say to each other is praise. Sometimes they're not critical. Critical is I pointed out your fault and I disapprove. Correction is I pointed out where there needs to be corrected, I'm coming alongside to help you. It's like a shepherd's staff. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. It's the shepherd's staff that he places, or the rod up against the sheep's face and nudges, pushes it in the direction it needs to go. And sometimes with me, pushes some more. right? That was far harder than I actually was anticipating. That's correction. Come this way. 1 Corinthians, here we are, verse 17. Paul is writing to them in chapter 11 about communion. We're not going to be a long time this morning. Not going to stretch out the sermon. We're going to be done before the kids are, so we'll have some time just to wait in the lobby or be in here. I don't know how things are going to unfold. But watch this, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I don't know how they're hearing this. I'm hoping they were sitting down. Paul is saying this. Would have been better had you not come. It would have been better that you didn't gather together, because you're worse off for doing it. Verse 18. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. I hear there are divisions. I hear there's lack of unity. Now, earlier on in the letter, he would say, here, some of you are saying I'm of Paul, and some are saying I'm of Apollos. Is Christ divided? And he speaks pretty strongly to them about not just following a person. And we certainly don't want this here. Well, I like Pastor Barry. Well, I like Pastor Kathleen. Listen, we get along just fine. We get along just fine. And we're team. And we said to each other, it costs me nothing for you to love her with all your heart. And it costs her nothing for you to love me with all my heart. We're not divided. We're together in this. We believe God has brought us together. And Paul's saying, when you're talking like that, you're talking like mere mortals. Like, have you no mind? He writes this to the church. There can't be divisions among you. He says this, that when you come together at the Lord's table, I hear there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. He's talking about this unity because, loved ones, I think that there's probably not much we can do without unity, but there's nothing we can't do with it. for good or for bad, the Tower of Babel, they were in unity. But we need to be a people who God brings together in unity to respond to the call that he has on our lives and our church. He says to this to the church in Corinth, people who have come from all kinds of places. I hear there's divisions. Verse 19. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Essentially, he's saying, well, there is some good from your disunity. At least you can see people who are the real deal, who are there for the right motivations. There is a dividing line here, and at least you can see the goodness of those who are clearly following the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, they were saying it was the Lord's Supper, but this isn't what Jesus had in mind. What you're doing, what you're eating, how you're doing it, this isn't the Lord's Supper. You may be eating, you may be drinking the exact things that were prescribed or set forth. You may be having the right emblems, the right elements. You can have all the right ceremony to it all. But what you're doing is not what he intended or instituted. You're missing it. You're calling it the Lord's Supper, but it's a swing and a miss. Look at verse 21. And here's the sorrow. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I don't praise you. Somehow you've missed the point and think it's even about the food. And even if it is about the food, you're missing it, because the people at the front of the line of the buffet load up, and the people who come at the end don't even get pea soup. Right? It's turned into this meal that divides. instead it brings unity because they're focused on the wrong thing. And the rich are going first, and the rich are going first, and the poor are going hungry, and so they're not even sharing their bread with the poor. The very thing that Jesus said, do in remembrance of me, they're missing the whole point. My family and I were, years ago, we were in Hawaii, and we were in Maui, and we went to a little four-square church that was meeting in a theater, like a drama theater. And we're halfway to the front, kind of theater seating, because it's a theater, I guess. And as we're singing the opening songs, I mean, there's a huge communion table at the front, and it's covered with a tablecloth. Some churches will cover the elements, everything, covered with a tablecloth. We're in worship. At one point, my boy leans over to me and said, Dad, there's Krispy Kreme under there. And under the white tablecloth, you could see the box of Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, okay, you now got my attention. Hell, you know, it's hard. And in the middle of the service, they stopped things. They were in a poorer area of Maui, and a lot of people who needed food would come to the service, and so they stopped the worship in the middle of the service and took off these tablecloths. And there was Krispy Kreme donuts and nachos and grapes and fruit, all of this. And we had this meal that we shared together, standing all around and visiting before the sermon came. And I recognize that is not the communion table, but guess what? We had fellowship. If communion is koinonia, we had fellowship around this meal. And I... Let's vote. Wow. Those online, I'm really sorry. You're gonna have to DoorDash or Skip or something. But Paul, writing to this church in Corinth, the sorrow, the sadness, and what gripped me reading this passage is this. If it can happen in communion, it can happen anywhere. And if it can happen back then, it can happen now. Being a consumer, it can even, remember, no accusation, just awareness. It can even show up in choosing what church you attend to, what church you attend. What's in it for me? And I recognize there are different ministries that different churches have, and we want to be able to meet people's needs, and not every church can meet every need, all of that. But the first question isn't, does this church meet my needs? It's, has God called me here? Has God called me here to serve and not be served? And in that, we would discover how God is going to meet your needs. Because he is Jehovah Jireh, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. We are a community that wants to help and care and meet people's needs and see God do that. And he uses people to do that. But the primary issue isn't, does this church have something for me to receive? But rather, is there a place to give? Is there a place to serve? Has God called me here? I was visiting with a couple who I love dearly. They used to, in a building that we owned a little while ago, we had five churches meeting there, a school for autistic students and a daycare. I mean, it was a happening place. And one of the best tenants we ever had was the Spanish church, Grace of God. Spanish church. And they're looking for a place now to meet. They contacted me to say, can we meet in your building and can we have a service? And so I said, I don't know about any of that. I'd just love to see you. Come, we'll talk. And as we were talking, I don't know if anything's going to work. We'll walk slowly with all of that. By the way, they approved the gym floor to get replaced. We prayed last week. We prayed last week and this week insurance all went through. Everything's confirmed. They're going to be here on Wednesday to put fans in and then discover a scope of work and how to get everything turned around. And so praise the Lord. It's no coincidence that I guess we should have prayed earlier. What were you thinking? We prayed. But as this couple came and talked about the possibility, they were talking about their church, and he said this, because people come and people go, and it's a different church now. The pastors have changed, and so many people have changed and that I don't know. It's really a different church. He said, we're here. The Gomez family will always be here. Just this determination of, I'm going to outlive the pastor. I'm gonna be here. Just that God has called us here, and that rock solid, we're here. And it just, I mean, it spoke to me so much. And further, he wants to use us to minister. I really believe every member a minister. Nobody here is without giftings. The difficulty is, you may not be able to minister in your preferred area of ministry. Well, I've done this in other churches. I've done this here. I've done this for years. Oh, okay, it's a new season. Can you do this? Can you help here? We can train you to do anything. But I think one of the most spiritual gifts is helping. Where do you need help? Where can I help? My baseball team, you know, I love a utility player. They can just play all the positions. Don't need to be any position, but hey, where is the need? Let me help. I think the most spiritual gift you can bring is to be helpful. One of the illustrations that we often talk about in church has to do with the Dead Sea. When there's no outflow, right? The Jordan River flows into it, but there's no outflow of the Dead Sea. And the salt content, there is nothing living in it. Even though life flows into it, it is a dead end because there's no outflow. I remember floating, just before we floated in the Dead Sea, our tour guide said, if you feel something touch your foot, yes, it's your buddy. Because there's nothing living in there. And it's just that point of there needs to be an outflow. When a sponge gets saturated, it can't receive anymore. We're not called to be receivers, but let what's in us come out. So yes, we can receive more to give more. Even those who come to church, and I've lived this for a number of years, even people who come to church who are hurting, and I've had people come and say, and out of bad church situations and lots of hurt and not blaming, no harm, no foul, I don't know all the details, but came pretty wounded, said, I just need to sit. And I said, yeah, absolutely, you just need to sit. Well, do you need help here? Yeah, we do, but you need to sit. Just come and be refreshed and restored and renewed. You just take a break. You're more important than whatever gifting you have. Just rest. But there comes a time when if you continue to rest, there's an atrophy that happens. Physiotherapy is you need to get moving again. You need to get serving again. As the Lord would lead, as it would be the place for time and health, you've got to move again. You've got to serve again. And in that we find life. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to wrap things up here. 1 Corinthians 11:23. This closing verse, we're going to look what Paul says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And it will go on to say, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it. Talk about the cup, the new covenant in his blood. And come to that place, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a beautiful passage that we read so many times at communion. But he says this, and he models this for them. Remember, he's talking to them about just being consumers, and guys, you're taking, taking, taking. You're missing this. For I delivered to you that which I received from the Lord Jesus. I received it and I'm giving. And he's modeling it in his words and he's modeling it in his actions. And this is what communion looks like. We remember Jesus. It's his body, it's his blood. We remember Jesus. For often as you do this, we remember Jesus. It's not about the food. It's not even, it's not about the donuts. It's not about any of that. It's not what it's about. And you know, I think about the people coming to that church in Hawaii, and it wasn't even about the nutrition. It was something about being a blessing and the community. Paul said, I've given to you that which I received. And then he would go on in another gospel to say, that which I've given to you, give to others, that they may train others, that we may be able to pass it on. And so I'll close with this. Tara and team, I'm going to invite you to come join me. Please. I want to be a person who gives more than I take. Someone has to receive, of course. It's not sin to receive. It's not bad to receive. But we mutually give and receive, and so then we are built up. If we were all giving and nobody receiving, how's that? I think we need to be gracious receivers. Receive graciously. Let me just say these closing statements. We're going to pray a prayer together. In becoming a people of praise, may we avoid the pitfall of complaining by praising the Lord. By whatever circumstance or situation we find ourselves in, remembering that others are tuned into the radio station of our lives. A couple weeks ago, you remember Paul and Silas. They'd been beaten with rods, they'd been threatened, they'd been thrown in prison. But something of the fragrance of their life, of the praise of their life, they were praising God. Around midnight, they were praying and praising God, and everyone was listening. They weren't complaining. Look at the prison we're in. They weren't complaining about the stripes on their back. Instead, they were praising the Lord. Everyone was listening. May we avoid the pitfall of criticizing. Not finding fault in each other. No one has the spiritual gift of, but instead, finding ways to encourage each other and build each other up. And may, in becoming a people of praise, may our attitude not be to consume, but how much can we give? How can we serve? How can we help? There are so many things that I do at home that I don't want to do. It's not my gifting. It's not my calling. I say, Audrey, I don't want to take out the recycling. I'm the man of God. She says, well, the man of God needs to take out the recycling. Right? Just whatever it is, we just want to be helpful. We just want to be helpful. We don't want to complain. We don't want to criticize. We don't want to consume. Let those things not be the mark of our lives. May we be and becoming a people of praise, because praise looks good on you. Would you pray this verse with me? Just as we... Is it up there? There we go. Thanks, Lindy. We've said it for these last couple weeks. It has to do with our mouth, has to do with our hearts. Our attitudes are wrapped up in both of those things too. But can we just make this our prayer? Let's say it together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength. Just in your own words now, make a commitment to the Lord, whatever that looks like. But walking in the Spirit, but not criticizing, complaining, not consuming, Maybe you're here this morning and you are looking for a church. May the Lord clearly guide you. If this is it, welcome. If this isn't, may God bless you to find a place where you fit, where you can use your gifts, but more where you can serve. And God would unite your hearts with the people. I'm just going to say one more thing. There are a number of people who have, from time to time, come to me, often guests, often people outside our church, that want to speak on a Sunday morning. They have a worship ministry. They want to lead worship. We'll talk. And they will say, I just love to speak. I just love to speak. Or I just love to lead worship. Or I just love to whatever. And I will say, not unkindly to them, but I have a rock solid conviction about this. I say, it doesn't matter if you love to preach. Do you love the people you're preaching to? It doesn't matter if you love to lead worship. Do you love the people you're leading worship? It's not about loving the ministry. It's about loving the people. It's about the people. God loves people more than anything. So as we consider serving and following Him, it's not about the organization. It's not about the structure. It's about the people. It always has been and always will be. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon the people. It's about you. It's about us together. Let's go ahead and stand. Thank God for His faithfulness this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.